Isaiah 40, and the last verse of that chapter. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. First word of that verse is the little word but. The word but usually introduces a contrast. And the child of God is a contrast. A contrast to that which is normal. That which is common. Just previous to our text, you find in the verse 30, where the Lord says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. There are limits to natural strength, limits to natural abilities, limits to human endurance. But they that wait upon the Lord, they're different. They're different. It is the lot of the child of God, irrespective of how their physical frame may decline as the years advance, to expect God to revive, refresh, strengthen. The path of the just is as a shining light which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That's good to know. That's good to know. Now it's true, we know as the years go past, physically our abilities will decline. But it's also good to know that that does not necessarily mean that spiritually our comforts, our graces will decline. Sometimes, as has been the experience of many of God's people, in their latter days, they have seen better times than when they were young as Christians. May the Lord be pleased to keep us spiritually running, keep us spiritually vigorous to the end of our days. Now, so far in our study of this verse, we considered the wonderful name that is given to believers, they that wait upon the Lord. That should characterize us. That should mark us out. We should be the people that wait upon the Lord. Then we discussed and meditated upon the fact that the people of God are a people with strength. And of course, there was a time when we had no strength, but then we came to the Lord Jesus and He became our strength. He became our strength. We noticed that there must be a constant renewing of our strength. They that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. We need this constant renewing. Now, that's not hard to understand. It's a concept that we live with all the time. We need our food. We need our rest. Otherwise, we would completely collapse. We need refreshed. We need renewed physically. Well, likewise, we need renewed spiritually. Now, the evidence, this was our study at the meeting for prayer on Thursday evening, the evidence of strength renewed is given us in the latter part of the verse. There are three evidences. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And here's the proof, then, of renewed strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. We looked at that on Thursday evening. They shall run and not be weary. We're going to look at that this evening. This is the second mark that follows upon us waiting upon the Lord. Now may the Lord bless us as we give a little consideration to that one phrase this evening. Before we go any further, let's bow together, please, in prayer. Lord, we ask for your blessing upon us. Thou knowest how we need your grace, Lord. Oh God, help us tonight. Help us to preach with the power of the Holy Ghost. We're reading of strength here. We're dealing with strength. We're dealing with renewal. Lord, I need to experience what it is I'm speaking about, in order that I might speak about this subject as it ought to be set forth. Come then, fill me with the Holy Ghost, I pray, and bless all who are gathered tonight under the sound of your word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So our subject then this evening is running without weariness. Running without weariness. I'm sure in the world of athletics, there are many who love to know the secret of that. And in the realm of the Spirit, there is a need for us too to discover the secret of running without weariness. This running refers to our service for the Lord. I think that's what running refers to, the service of the Lord, our service for the Lord. I always am inclined, when seeking to discover the use that God puts certain words to, I like to get my concordance out and look up where these words first occur. That helps me to understand the meaning of the word. And if you want to find the meaning of the word run, you go to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. And there we discover the first time this word appears, this Hebrew word. Genesis 18, and it's the verse 2. It's also to be found in verse 7. But let me read to you what the verse 2 says. Well, I'll start with verse 1, just to set the context. And the Lord appeared unto him, that's unto Abram, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, that's a normal thing to do in the heat of the day, believe me, in Israel. You sit in your tent door, in the shade provided by the tent covering. And so he was. And he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them. It's interesting that we're told that the time of the day in which he ran, the heat of the day. It's the last time of the day you would think of getting up and running. But here's Abraham. And listen, he was an old man. But what he sees causes him to rise swiftly and run to greet his visitors. Because, of course, these three individuals that he sees, two were angels, that's reason enough to run to greet the visitors. But even more cause is given in the fact that the other one was the Lord himself. The Lord himself. There is a need for us as believers to give haste to our attention toward the things of God and the things of the Lord Jesus Christ in particular. Let us be careless about whatever matters concern us, but let us not be careless in the Lord's service. Now let me say, and this you know, by and large the reverse is the case. The reverse is the case. Men who are vigorous in the pursuit of their businesses have no energy for the things of God. You know, a lifetime of knowing and studying human behavior has indicated that to me very plainly. I have seen Sabbath after Sabbath over the last nigh on 50 years where folk could be absent from the house of God on the Lord's day and inquire, oh, they're not feeling well. But the next day they're at work. They're at work the next day. And I have seen that so frequently. So frequently. It takes far more to keep us from our work than it does to keep us from God's house. I'm suggesting to you that Abraham is showing the very opposite of such a sperm. He's taking it easy with regards to domestic duties. He's sitting in the tent in the heat of the day, taking it easy. His own duties and responsibilities can wait until the heat subsides. And then he sees the Lord. And suddenly he shows far more energy in going out to greet the Lord than they have been showing in the pursuit of his own affairs. That's how it ought to be. That's how it ought to be. And you know, they that wait upon the Lord will show that energy. They will show that energy. They that wait upon the Lord shall run and not be weary. Could I just turn you over a little further in Genesis to the chapter 24? Genesis chapter 24. And here again we see this running. Genesis 24, the verse 27. You remember how the servant of Abraham has been sent back to Abram's kinfolk to look for a wife for Isaac. And here he is at the well, and he has been praying for God's guidance. And in verse 15 it says, it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out, and who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abram's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came, and the servant ran to meet her. Here again there is this eagerness, this swiftness to pursue the duties that were heavenly. And I again say that this little phrase, They that wait upon the Lord shall run and not be weary is a reference to the swiftness with which those who wait on God and pray and are in fellowship with Him daily will pursue their spiritual duties and their eternal obligation. I could go on, you know, and show you how that this spirit is not only seen in the servant of Abraham, but you see it also in Rebekah, because in the verse 18 she said, "Drink, my lord," and she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for the camels also till they have done drinking," and she hastened. Here's a diligence shown by this young woman. Oh, she was well suited to become the wife of such a man of God as was Isaac. Now we could go a little further, and we could go into the book of Samuel, and there we could find young Samuel when he heard the voice saying, "Samuel, Samuel," and he thought it was Eli, and he got up and he ran. He didn't grumble and turn over in bed and said, "What's the old fellow looking for now? Perhaps he's just talking in his sleep. I'll just ignore him and he'll go back to sleep again." No, he got up and he ran. He sensed an obligation to serve the high priest. Then there was David in the same first book of Samuel. And you remember when he went out to meet Goliath? I stood earlier this year on the very field that this all took place in. Oh, what thoughts, what feelings, what sensations filled my heart and mind. And I'm sure the hearts and the minds of those that were there with me. As we looked upon the hill where Israel would have been, looked upon the hill where the Philistines would have gathered, from which Goliath would have come, and we stood in the little brook or the watercourse where David gathered the stones as he ran to meet Goliath. No reluctance, no hesitation, no dragging of his feet. He ran to meet the great champion of the Philistines. And it only goes to serve to illustrate the fact that this verse underlines how it is we should be carrying out our duties. Here's the energy with which you and I as believers should manifest in our spiritual duties. You and I should run. We should run to perform our duties and our obligations to God and to His work. The Holy Ghost can make spiritual athletes of us all. They that wait upon the Lord shall run and not be weary. Such swiftness has its origins with God. And this running is not a natural thing. It's something that God imparts to us as we wait upon Him. If you look back before you were converted, you didn't hasten to the house of God. You didn't hasten to the house of God. If ever you went, you had to be dragged. You hastened away from it. You couldn't wait for it to end. You looked for every indication that soon this service will be over, and your heart was thrilled at the thought, and my, out you burst from the building. Get away! Oh, how different it is, but now that you're seated, there should be an eagerness, a readiness to run. We should break into running as we go about our duties with the Lord. You know, this is the pace the Savior served and worked at. That's why I read that portion in Mark, with the constant references to immediately and forthwith and right away and straightway. No hesitation, but instant action, instant response on his part when he saw the need. That's the pace the Savior works at. And that's the pace that each one of us work at when we're yoked to Christ. When we're yoked to Christ. You know, in the Scriptures, God forbade the yoking together of two animals that were unequal. You weren't to yoke an oxen to an ass. You only have to think of the gait, the walk of the oxen, slow and lumbering, and then the more petite movement of the donkey. And they just would chafe one another. They just couldn't work together. God forbade that for that reason. Of course, there was a spiritual lesson there for us to learn. If you're going to run with Christ, you run at His pace. And His pace is to speedily execute the duties and the responsibilities and the commands of His Father. Now, God's service oftentimes requires us to run. As I've already said, let us be leisurely about our own interests, but let us not be leisurely about God. Why? Because the time is short. The time is short. The day is hastening to a close. The night is coming when no man can work. I always remember in my boyhood days when you would find yourself employed in the hay field. And hay fields always bring back to me one memory, and that is irritable fathers. Back home in Northern Ireland, if you got a burst of sunshine, you knew that you had to make the best of it, because the rain was never far away. And consequently, poor farmers, as they were working at getting the hay gathered in, if they saw anybody stopping, "Yeah, what are you doing? Get on! Hurry up! We haven't all day!" And the predominant memory, therefore, for the young is there was no time for laughing, no time for fun. You just had to work and work and work, because the time was short. And the father knew it. The grandfather knew it. The adults knew it. They also knew that if they missed the opportunity, what work that would then result in. Because if it started to rain, they'd have to abandon the hay. And hopefully the next day, if it was bright, they'd have to shake it all out again to start the process of drying. And therefore they were under pressure all the time, because the hours of work were short. Well, so it is with us. So it is with us. That's why God's service requires haste. The king's business requires haste. The opportunities are short. The Lord Jesus himself said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." It's not hay that's perishing. It's not a crop that is threatened. But it's the souls of men. It's the souls of men. And how therefore we must hasten. The Lord Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest." No time for delay. It was said of John Wesley, and I'm sure it could have been said of thousands and thousands of others who sought to serve the Lord. It was said of him that he was out of breath, chasing after sinners. What a testimony that was to have. Out of breath. Out of breath, chasing after sinners. Well, I think that suggests that he was a man who waited on the Lord and thereby was enabled to run and not be weary. As Christians, you know, oftentimes our safety requires us to run. Now, we're well aware that that's the case in life generally. If it's only crossing the road, there are times when you have to run if you're going to avoid injury. Well, how much more in the realm of spiritual matters are we required to run? Did you ever notice how often in the Word of God you are exhorted to be swift of foot? 1 Corinthians, the chapter 6, and the verse 18 says this. Here's an example. "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Flee! Don't linger! Don't look! But run. Oh, what a danger sin is. Chapter 10, the verse 14 of this same epistle. And here again we find this urgent request for speed. "Wherefore, my beloved, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." We haven't time tonight, but it would be interesting just to have a look at all the instances and all the matters that we are to flee from. God says flee from, because they pose a tremendous threat. Yet the world would look at the very things that we are to flee from as an entertainment. The world would linger in the company of these very sins and pursuits that God says flee from. For your own safety, Christian, you need to be swift in running from those things that God says we should run from. And you'll only be swift, you'll only be able to run, if you wait upon the Lord and renew your strength. Renew your strength. Those who don't pray, they don't run from sin. They'll linger in sin. They'll fool around with sin. You remember old carnal Lot and his family? They lingered, it says. When God said, get out of Sodom, they lingered. They lingered. The angels took them by the hand and dragged them out. And even then they lingered. Lot's wife looked back with longing, looked back with regret at what she was leaving. No, you have to wait upon the Lord. You have to be one who practices prayer, practices communion with God, who is daily imbibing from Him a renewing of your spiritual strength if you're going to run away from that which will harm you in a fashion that God would have us to do. Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and he told them to flee. Flee sin. Flee from wickedness. Flee from wickedness. And you can take your own concordance down and follow up like verses. And there is this haste. So it was with old Joseph. You remember? Young Joseph. It shows that he was a man of prayer. A man of waiting on God. Because when he was tempted, he fled. He fled. He was swift to see the danger. He was swift to see the threat. And then he was swift to get away in compliance with the word of God. They that wait upon the Lord shall run and not be weary. Victory. The victorious Christian life depends upon our running. I'll return to 1 Corinthians, this time to chapter 9, verse 24. The apostle there says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Not everybody who runs in the marathon wins. Although today, of course, there's little emphasis on winning. It's taking part. In fact, many school sports, such as the madness that has overtaken the nation, many school sports have been abandoned because there would be so many children running in the races that wouldn't win. And how could they ever live with such a psychological setback as that? That's the thinking of today. No, in every race there's only one winner, the one who runs the fastest. And if we're going to be successful as Christians, we've got to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now that looking on to Jesus is waiting on Him. It's drawing strength from Him. Drawing strength from Him. Even as we run. That's what enables us to run. If you can't run, have you been looking to Jesus? Have you been waiting on the Lord? Have you been renewing your strength? If that was wrong. If you're going to be a victorious Christian, then you need the energy that this text of ours speaks about. And that energy source is waiting upon the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord. Tapping into His strength, His power, and His grace. Well, let me move to the second point that I want to make. We only have 2 points to set before you from this. The energy of the renewed believer, running and not wearied. And then secondly, I want you to notice the endurance of the renewed believer. You see, this is not an energy that is over with in a flash. The cheetah is a very fast animal. In fact, I think it's the fastest land animal there is. But it cannot run for very long. It cannot run for very long. It has a tremendous burst of speed, but it soon runs out of energy. But that's not to be the way with us. The energy that the child of God enjoys as a result of waiting on the Lord is a lasting energy. They shall run and not be weary. Not be weary. They shall keep on going. They shall keep on going. I mentioned that we were in Israel earlier this year. We were up on Mount Carmel. Now that's where Elijah met and defeated the prophet and prayed for rain. And then said to Ahab, rain is coming. Get in your chariot and get going, for there's heavy rain coming. And then Elijah ran. And the distance Elijah ran, we saw it. We traveled it. 30 miles. 30 miles. He ran 30 miles. That's more than a marathon. It was a spiritual energy given him of God. And that's the energy, spiritual energy, that you and I will experience, will enjoy, if we are engaged, as we ought to be, in waiting upon the Lord. Spiritual labors and activities are wearisome to the flesh. There's no doubt about that. The flesh grows weary. The flesh groans at the thought of serving God. matter what it is. Just going to church. The flesh is reluctant. The flesh objects. Doesn't like long sermons. Doesn't like long sermons. Can't be expected to be here all day, they sort of say. I often am inclined to say to folk, I don't know how you're going to stick heaven. I don't know how you're going to face heaven. It's not all day, it's all eternity. All eternity. David said, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he's looking forward to it. And yet so many, an hour and a half in God's house. What? That's just not possible. That can't be done. That's asking too much. The flesh grows weary with spiritual activities. Paul wrote to the Galatians, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We're inclined to faint. That's what the flesh does. See, you've got to overcome the flesh. You've got to crucify the flesh. You've got to put it to death with its objections. And the place to slay the flesh is the place of prayer. That's where you get the overcoming. You often hear the athlete who says, no pain, no gain. When the athlete is training, there comes a time in every bout of training when the pain barrier is reached. And the athlete feels, I've got to go through that. That's all part of me reaching peak fitness. Well, there is a great lesson there to be learned. If you and I set out to do anything for God, it will not be long until the flesh presents the pain barrier. You can't do that. That's too much. You've got to slay it. You've got to crucify it. You've got to deny it. You've got to mortify it and get the victory over it. And that happens as you wait upon the Lord. That's where you get the victory. Over that weariness that the flesh manifests. Be not weary in well-doing, Paul says. And there are so many times he repeats that particular exhortation, 2 Thessalonians. Well, we'll take the moment to look them up. It's always good. It's better than me just quoting them. If you can turn them up and look at them for yourself, or you'll be able to turn them back again on another occasion and look at them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and the verse 13. But ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. He was speaking to a church here. And there was this need to exhort the church in this matter. Be not weary. It is a common factor, a common feature in the life of God's people. And they had to be reminded that this weariness is to be rejected, refused, to be defeated and overcome. And it can only take place as we wait upon the Lord. Romans chapter 2, let me look at what it has to say with you. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Patient continuance? Patient continuance? Not giving up? Not quitting? You know, if there ever was a grace that's needed by you and by me today, it's that grace. Patient continuance. It's easy to come to God's house when there's crowds flocking, but to keep on going when there is no crowd, when there is no manifestation of interest, that takes patient continuance. Patient continuance. And it only comes as a result of waiting upon the Lord. In the chapter in Isaiah that we're looking at, we're told something about the Lord that is peculiar to himself. If you look at chapter 40, and look at the verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. See, that's something that belongs to God only. God's never weary. God's never weary. He never gets tired. The arm of the Lord doesn't grow weary. And it is as we wait on the Lord that we partake of this strength. I have been reading a little book that's in the bookcase in the apartment attached to the church here. One of the biographies of John Newton. Great Englishman. Great English preacher. And you know, I'm amazed at the preaching that he did, and the letter writing that he did, and the publications of articles and books that he was engaged in. Here we are today living in a day of computers, and we can turn out this stuff so swiftly. He was in the day of a big old quill pen and dipping and writing. No speedy corrections. And Eddie was turning out this at a fantastic rate. And I was looking at it. He was preaching 5 and 6 times a week. How did he do it? He had no swift means of transport to get from one end of the country to the other, but he seemed to be all over the place preaching. Oh, he must have had an energy of which we know little. That energy that's spoken of in our text. He was a partaker of God's non-weariness. That's what enabled him and others like him to so effectively serve God in their days. God never wearies. And you and I, if we wait on the Lord and partake of His grace, then we shall be able to run and not be weary. Not be weary. He imparts His strength to the weary ones who cometh to Him. Listen to me. He imparts His strength to the weary one. That's what it says in this chapter. Look at verse 29. Isaiah 40, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. That leaves us without excuse. Oh, I could never do that. Those who have no strength, He increaseth might. How? They that wait upon the Lord. They renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall run and not be weary. Is this not the secret of the life of victory? Paul the Apostle, in what I consider to be one of the greatest verses in the Bible, in Galatians chapter 2 and the verse 20, "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Or I live by faith in the Son of God. Paul said, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live by the grace and the power of the Lord Jesus." Here's the secret of being a victorious Christian. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall run and not be weary. And not be weary. May we experience this, but we know it firsthand by taking up this promise, embracing it, resting on it, and making it our hope. May the Lord be pleased to bless His word tonight to our hearts for His name's sake. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, how marvelous this is. All of us tonight will retire to a comfortable bed, and we will renew our strength by that most pleasant of occupation, sleep. Lord, lying down and resting on Thee is even more pleasant, and the results are a strength and an energy that no earthly sleep can grant. Teach us, Lord, what this means. Teach us to wait on Thee, that our strength might be renewed. Bless us now, Lord. The end of the Sabbath has come. As we go to our homes, give us journeying mercy, we ask. In Thy sweet and precious name, Amen.